Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabeau, and this is Far East Adventure Travel.
With its animus statues, its faux 7-Eleven and Yak Donald restaurants, Kegbeni is certainly one of the most atmospheric towns in the region. It's one of my favorite places. It's also the gateway to the restricted Upper Mustang region.
Kegbeni is one of the most interesting villages in all of Nepal, with its ancient Bon animus beliefs, statues, and a picturesque location in the Kalagandaki Gorge. The Keg in Kegbeni was once Gag, meaning center, and it is, with the important Buddhist Hindu pilgrimage site Muktanath to the east and the town of Jomsom to the south. The Beni in Kegbeni means confluence of two rivers. Where the Kalagandaki and Jong rivers meet is where the village sits. Before Tibetan Buddhism became the fabric of the culture of this region, people followed Bon, another Tibetan religion. Bon is an ancient shamanist religion with rituals, exorcisms, and talismans. Kegbeni still integrates the beliefs of Bon in village life with these ghost eaters or kennies that protect the town. I asked my friend Dara, the proprietor of Yak Donald's Hotel and Restaurant, to explain what the statues do to protect Kegbeni and some of the other beliefs that Bon followers hold.
I'm Dara, namaste. I'm from Kegbeni.
And you are the proprietor of
Yak Donald's.
Yak Donald's.
Yeah.
Yes. And you also are a native of Kegbeni. You lived here.
Yeah, I born here.
Born here.
Yeah.
And Kegbeni is very unique because it has some of these pre-Buddhist Bon statues that still exist that are hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell us a little bit about some of them. And the first one we're at right now is the female.
Yeah.
So maybe you could give us a little bit of background about this particular statue and its meaning.
Okay. This is, we call it Keni. It's a, we have a two Keni, one male and one female. This is female Keni. And this is God of our village. Long time ago, this Kegbeni village was inside this Walled city, Walled town. And this also was around there because now this, because of this building, changed shift to here. And this is a god and ghost eater. We call Keni, ghost eater.
So this is a protector god?
Protector god, yeah.
And they're typically at the entrance or to the village?
Two villages, yeah. We have a two gate. One is northern and this is south side.
And you were saying because this particular statue is exposed to the elements, you have to paint it twice a year.
Yeah, twice a year we paint and we ceremony, and we all village people carry the inside the monastery books. Kengyu Tengyu is a 108 books. We carry all the village, because of no more insect and good harvesting and protection of the disaster. Yeah.
So this is a ritual that you do every year to ensure a good harvest, no insects, no disaster.
Yeah, and organic, we believe we don't put pesticides, medicine inside the field. We have organic.
So everybody that grows food here is all organic?
All organic, yeah. We don't use pesticides. We don't use chemical, yeah. Yeah, this is the main entrance of Kegbeni. Everybody is living inside this walled town, and nobody dare to build outside because they are very scared. Ghost will come out.
Okay, yeah. So nobody builds outside this village because this is protected because of the ghost eaters.
Yeah. And this house is three-story, and at that time is no space to build house. So everybody had to share the house. And like example, this is my house, and on the second floor is your house. And third floor is another owner, different owner, one location.
Okay.
And
so it's like an old-time apartment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that time is if I don't have space house, so I go to you, I come to you, and I have to ask you, please, I want to make build house on your top, and I have to give you some alcohol, one pot of chang. Uh-huh. So we give you, then you will agree.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So some alcohol is
exchanged. Yeah. And about this small door, and everybody make a small door. And they believe at that time the ghost and Jumbo, you know, the dead people die. Jumbo.
Yes.
Jumbo, they come like this and they don't know how to knee down. So always come like this and knock his head and fell down. They are not able to enter.
Oh, okay, so they made the door smaller because they believe the ghost couldn't enter.
Yes.
They're too big.
Yeah. So this is a northern gate, one of the gate here, and this is a male Kenny, ghost eater also.
This is probably the most famous deity or god, I think, in Kagbeni.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little background on this Kenny?
It's the same like a female Kenny, and same things, male and female. And this is more especially is sometimes the family who doesn't have a children, and some they want son, and they come and pray and massage.
Really? Oh yeah. No! Oh. You just circumcised him.
And they pray here, and they trust if someone wants children or some that they want son.
Yeah. So many people wanting a son. In the
This is, we call it only Chorten.
So this is a Chorten, but it acts as a protection as well.
Yeah. This is a, we call it Kengi. Kengi means a two leg, Kangbanyi. Two leg, like a human being shape, neck, head, stomach and wing, hands and leg. And this is more than 400 years old. And this is one of the main entrance of this village. At that time, long time ago, everybody had to enter this one. When you come from outside, you have to enter this. And when you exit, also exit from here. It means you are very clean. Some ghosts and bad things come with you. So they are not able to enter once you enter here.
So normally a Chorten, when you walk by a Chorten, you walk on the right side.
Right side, yeah.
But in this case, you actually walk underneath.
Underneath, yeah.
And that will cleanse you, get away the bad
stuff. Yes, yes. And please follow me. And this. And I remember here, the horse riding also, under we can come here. But now it's changing because of many sands or many things. Horse also riding underneath.
So at one time you used to be able to bring the horses through here too?
Yeah, I remember here, I do that.
But now it's too low.
Yeah, too low because of this, because of its irrigation, something, yeah. And this mandala, old mandala. And the people die, the body, dead body, we bring here. And we tie it and make decoration. I keep on saying, and drinks. We make here a dead body and we bring to there, to Kali Gandaki River, and give it to the vulture. Yeah.
So is the sky burial that's still done today?
But now, no.
No.
Now we are burned.
Burn the body, but this is old time.
Yeah,
you used to bring the
bring
body
here. Yeah,
and then take to Kali Gandaki Gorge.
Yeah,
and do the sky burial with the vulture.
Yeah,
but no longer.
No longer. It is 25 years ago.
I asked Dara, who runs the famous restaurant and hotel of Keg Benny, why the name Yak Donald's?
Because it's, this region, I have to give some yak variety food, like yak burger, yak steak, yak momo, something.
So let's make things clear to people that when people think of Yak Donald's, they might think of McDonald's.
Yeah.
But this is not a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
This is, I've eaten here. The food is delicious. So tell me a little bit about the food and how you serve it and what you believe in.
One thing, the name is Yak Donald. People make attention. I just want to make attention. Hey, what, Yak Donald's, McDonald's. Yeah. First thing is this one. And second, I have to give some, all the food, organic. I have to service organic food. I don't use a can and bought this pot, not using packing.
So it's all fresh food. It's all, so you try to buy as much or use as much local food as possible.
Yeah, yes, right.
So, for instance, rice doesn't grow here. You have to bring rice from Pokhara.
Yeah, yeah.
But you use a lot of barley.
Barley, buckwheat, yeah. Potato here, apple crumble here.
And apples, of course, are grown here, so you use a lot of apples in baking and cooking as well.
Yeah.
And I've tried the bread that you've made here.
Yeah.
The whole wheat bread.
Whole wheat is from here.
And it's ground from a mill that you showed me.
Yes.
And it's very, very delicious. Yeah. And so is the champa. It's so good.
Yeah.
It was time to leave Keg Benny and head for Jomsom, the final stop for my Annapurna Circuit trek. At roughly 3 hours, it was a light trekking day. The impressive Kalagandaki Gorge, some believe the deepest in the world, has been an ancient trade route between Tibet and India for centuries. Keg Benny is one of my favorite villages in Nepal, but we needed to get out of the gate by 8:30 so we could beat most of the winds that pick up by late morning. With a clear start to the day, we were able to enjoy magnificent views of Nilgiri North at 7,061 meters, the highest of the three peaks of the Nilgiri Himal. Horses are used to carry loads as well as for tourist groups wanting to enjoy the Upper Mustang on horseback rather than by walking. Mountain biking has also become a popular way to see the region. Upper Mustang is considered one of the easier treks of Nepal. As we approached Jomsom, the winds had started to pick up. Flights from and to Jomsom Airport are only scheduled in the early morning, as the winds are too dangerous for air travel later in the day. Like most visitors these days, I'm ending my Annapurna trek at Jomsom with a flight back to Pokhara. Jomsom is the gateway to Mustang and the Upper Mustang, as well as Muktanath. Most people just pass through the village. There's monasteries to visit and some wonderful views of Nilgiri and Dalagiri to enjoy and little shops and markets. But for most people stopping here for the night, it's a place to chill and rest after or before a big trek. I was quite happy having lunch, settling into my lodge, then going for a walk around the village later in the afternoon and enjoying the sunset over Nilgiri. The next morning, a little traffic jam on the way to the airport and a charming way to end my visit. Then it's time for checking in and ending the Annapurna Circuit trek. There are more adventurous and challenging regions for trekking, but for an overall experience of walking through brilliant landscapes, appreciating the diverse culture and people of Nepal, and comfortable, friendly lodges, the Annapurna Circuit won't disappoint. Even as the region develops with more roads and infrastructure, I still believe it lives up to its reputation as one of the world's greatest treks. Thanks so much for listening to Far East Adventure Travel. Please support the podcast with your review in the iTunes store on the Far East Adventure Travel page in the ratings and review tab. Help others like you who are passionate about travel find the Far East Adventure Travel podcast in the iTunes store. That's it for this episode. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Periscope. All of the links are at fareastadventuretravel.com. Until next time, this is John Sabo. Safe travels and namaste.